Back to school is here. And if you are anything like me, you are already feeling the shift. The early mornings, the endless forms that need to be signed, the after-school shuffle, the lack of childcare during off-school days, and somehow you're still trying to do your job through all of it. It is a lot. And if you've ever thought, why does this feel so much harder than it should? It's because transitions really are hard for our kids, for us, for everyone. In this episode, I am sharing my best tips to help you feel calmer and more in control during this back-to-school fall season. So the push out the door isn't so exhausting and the after-school hours aren't so rushed and you actually have more space for the things that matter most. If you're ready for a back-to-school season that doesn't drain you, then this episode's for you. Are you ready? Let's get to it. Welcome to the Ambitious and Balanced Working Moms podcast, your go-to resource for integrating your career ambitions with life as a mom. I'm distilling down thousands of coaching conversations I've had with working moms just like you, along with my own personal experience as a mom of two, and sharing the most effective tools and strategies to help you quickly feel calm, confident, and in control of your ambitious working mom life. You ready? Let's get to it. Hello, hello, working moms. I am writing this podcast today, literally one day before my kids are off to school, and it has been like a whirlwind of the end of the summer. My husband and I just got back from a short last-minute trip to the Napa Valley to do some wine tasting as we celebrated our 18th wedding anniversary. It was also my birthday last week. I turned 43. Woohoo! not a very exciting year, I should say. My best friend's in town for 3 weeks visiting. The soccer season started last week, which means we have soccer 4 days a week. We have baseball 3 days a week. We just wrapped up swimming. That was 4 days a week. Oh my gosh. So many things going on as we are transitioning out of summer and into the fall and back to school. All the things, which is why we are here having this podcast today. It just feels like the perfect day, right? To talk about heading back into school and getting into fall rhythms. And this episode is going to be sort of like a survival guide, if you will, whether you have already transitioned back to school, because I know some of you already have done that, or maybe that's happening in a few weeks. This podcast is definitely going to be relevant to you either way. And then if you don't have kids like in school, maybe your kids are in childcare or with a nanny or preschool or something like that, this is definitely still going to be a relevant episode for you, because really we're talking about the fall transition and all of us go through this transition season, some of us more than others based on activities and things like that. But we're going to be talking about all about how to have a really great transition into the fall. So I'm excited to get going into that. I also wanted to let you know that I'm deciding to host a few different back-to-school strategy workshops. So if this episode is resonating with you and you would like some additional support in how to really set yourself up for success during this fall transition and into the holidays and into the craze of the fall and all the things, then this workshop is going to be for you. I'm going to be hosting a couple of them over the course of the next couple of weeks. So you're going to want to check the show notes for a link on that. And you're going to find the couple of times that I will be doing that. I am going to keep these nice and small. I don't want too many women in it because I actually want this to be a very interactive workshop. I want you to walk away with a plan for exactly how you want your fall rhythms to go, some strategies on how you can show up sort of calm, collected, not so rushed, and really just enjoy this fall season. So definitely join me in one of those workshops as I am talking about this topic here today and if it resonates with you. So again, go to the show notes. You can find that there. Of course, you could also find it on my website, RebeccaOlsonCoaching.com. All right. So here's what we're going to do today. I'm going to talk a bit about the idea of a transition season, why it's sort of important to label this as a transition season, and then ultimately to offer you 7 tips for how to thrive during this fall transition, back to school season. It'll include some mental strategies as well as some very tactile strategies. Okay. You ready? All right, let's jump in. So Transitions are something I certainly have talked about here on the podcast before, but it's been a while. So let's just take a step back for a moment and have a little perspective over the challenges of transitioning, just generally speaking, right? If you have an infant or a toddler right now, I know you can relate to this, but even with if your kids are older, like mine are 8 and almost 11, transitions can be really, really challenging no matter your age, right? I remember when my daughter was little, I remember the full-on meltdowns and resistance that would happen during transitions, whether we were talking about transitioning her from being in my arms to being in a car seat, right? She didn't like that so much, or transitioning from the car to daycare, or transitioning her from being awake to in bed, or transitioning even from like playtime to bath time, right? These transitions are really difficult for our kids. No child transitions really well, meaning no child is exempt from having meltdowns during transitions. All children have meltdowns during transitions. Of course, not all the time, but every kid struggles with the idea of transitions. And it makes sense, of course, from the standpoint of human design, because our brains are literally hardwired to kind of keep doing what you're doing now, right? They're hardwired for comfort, for safety, for ease. And so stopping and transitioning into a different task or into a different priority or into a different location, right? That requires a lot of effort of your body and your mind. And our brains don't like that, right? And they haven't ever liked that literally from the moment we've been born. This is one of the reasons why context switching is really difficult. Transitioning from one type of task you're doing to another type of task that you're doing, it takes a lot of effort and brain power. Your brain doesn't do that very well. And it kind of provides the kind of natural resistance to it on some level. So transitions are challenging for everyone at every age. And so let's then talk about like the specificity of the fall transition. And for some of you, I know that that's specific to the back to school transition, right? This is a bigger like seasonal shift that essentially takes place across our entire country on some level. Long days of summer begin to get shorter. Daylight gets shorter, which means playtime and being outside lessens and seasons begin to take over. And for almost all of us, that means some sort of transition in commitments as well, right? If you have kids that are school age, this is the season that school starts up. And even if your kids were in some form of summer camp over the summer, meaning like they were still had a normalish kind of day away from home, there's a still really, really big differences between what the expectations are of them over the summer versus what the expectations are of them during the school days. And that transition is really, really challenging for our kids, right? Lots of transition points throughout the day where adults are asking them to do something that are very in control of their schedule and in what they're doing in ways that the summer schedule doesn't really have for them, right? A lot of kids get a lot more free choice. Even in summer camps, they have a lot more free choice than they do during the school days. And so for many families, it's their school activities, but then there's also like fall activities, right? You have maybe different sports are starting up. My kids are starting both soccer and baseball. Maybe you have other types of commitments that are happening during the fall. For many of us as adults, right, within our jobs, there's fall rhythms that take place. We're heading into the final quarter of the year, which has a different level of stressors. We also have the holidays coming up, right? So big commitments, big change, big rhythm changes for everybody involved. And then of course, if your kids are younger, they're like infants or toddlers, there could still be quite a lot of transition in your schedule as well, even if they're not going back to school. I know a lot of childcare facilities close for several days as they sort of transition out of summer schedule and into fall schedule, which can leave parents kind of high and dry without any childcare. And even in my school, there's a couple of days that are coming up within the school year, within the next month, that the kids don't have school because the teachers are doing like in-service days. And so we're kind of, you know, out of luck in terms of childcare. So many things that go on during this like month to maybe even 6 weeks at maybe at tops, I'll call it this transition period, kind of out of summer, the last week or so of summer and into fall rhythms. Decision fatigue is high, mental overload is high, emotions are high. All of this is happening, right? I'm painting kind of a stark picture of how challenging it can be. For me, it really was. My kids are, again, a bit older now, but I remember those first couple of years of transition into the school season for my daughter when she was heading into transitional kindergarten and then into kindergarten. Literally the entire month of September was a disaster, like total disaster. We saw behavior from her we had never seen before, from tantrums and emotions and just like startling things that we, locking us in rooms, things that she had never done before, all during this transition period. So I know that's the case for so many of you. It's why we're having this conversation right here on the podcast. But why am I like painting this picture for you? It really leads into the first tip out of the seven that I want to offer to you here in the rest of this podcast. And it's that when we expect transitions like this to happen, then what we can also expect is a lot bigger emotions from both our children and from ourselves. Again, our brain is not hardwired to easily move through a transition, right? It's going to be resistant to it at all costs. So even though my son is 8 and we don't oftentimes have meltdowns as we transition from the house into the car, for example, any longer, there is still this like transition resistance that happens as we try to head out the door to get to school, right? Tomorrow, which is the first day of school, I expect that my son is like, I'm going to have to ask him, if not twice, maybe 3 times, maybe even 4 times, to get his shoes on, because he's not going to be listening to me the first time. In fact, I expect that I will likely find him in his room listening to an audiobook and playing with Legos after I have just asked him to go get his shoes on, right? I can also expect that he might not want to eat breakfast tomorrow. He's not consciously sort of resisting or delaying going to school, but internally, he's got all of these big feelings about this transition, right? It feels really uncomfortable. He doesn't know if he's going to like his teacher. He doesn't know if he has friends in his classroom. He feels a little bit scared. He doesn't want to let go of the summer and the fun of the summer, right? And so this is all coming out in resistance behavior because of what's going on inside of him emotionally. And I can also tell you tomorrow what's going to happen is when I drop off the kids at 8 o'clock in the morning for school, I am going to cry. Literally, I'm going to cry my eyes out, because I always do on the first day, if not multiple days into the school year. I'm going to think about them probably all day. I'm going to wonder if they're enjoying their teacher. I'm going to anticipate hearing if they have any friends in their class. It's going to make me tear up as I just think about them, because I really want the school year to go well for them. I want them to be happy. I want them to have fun. I want that for them. I want that for our family, right? It's going to be difficult for me to shut that down over the next couple of days and weeks, if not near impossible, right? Because I'm a whole human being and my kids mean the world to me. They mean more to me than anything else. And so I'm going to expect that my brain is going to think a lot about that. And so because of that, I'm going to build in some extra time. I've already built in some extra time, really, for my morning routine. I've learned over the years that I need this time. So I've built it into my morning routine. I'm not jumping right into work. I'm probably not going to put makeup on before I take them to school. Maybe I will a little bit, but not much, because I know I'm going to cry and then I'm going to have to like take care of that. So I am sort of taking care of myself as I expect my own emotions to come up during this transition time, right? So this first tip is to expect emotions from you and certainly from our kids, right? When emotions don't come out of left field, like when we can easily normalize them and know that they're coming, then we can remember that like, oh, this is normal. Everything is okay. This season will pass. Nothing's gone wrong here, right? You have more compassion for your kids and what they might be experiencing during this transition. And you have more compassion for yourself and the emotional exhaustion that's likely going to occur during this season when you expect big feelings to happen. Okay, so that's tip number one. I want you to expect all of the emotions during the time, totally normalize them and give space for them. The second tip I have for you is to redefine, or define maybe for the first time, success for this transitional season, right? You get to decide how long this transition season is. And I do encourage you to actually pick a season, like this, the next 2 weeks or the next 4 weeks, something along those lines. I wouldn't go much more than 4 to 6 weeks tops for sure. But what does success look like within this transitional period for you and your kids and for your family and for the fall rhythms, right? Success is probably not a clean house. It's probably not your kids' rooms picked up. It's probably not a home-cooked meal every night, or your kids not having meltdowns, or even making it to every soccer practice for the next couple of weeks, or even getting through every piece of homework that might come home over the next couple of weeks. Success is probably not that level of perfection. I guarantee it. And if it's hard for you to wrap your brain around what success is and what that even looks like, and if it's not this kind of like get my kid to every activity and make sure that they, you know, that they are not having meltdowns and things like that, if that's difficult for you, I want to offer to you this back to school workshop that I'm hosting. That's going to be for you. We're going to actually spend some time together defining success. There'll be some time to do that individually. There'll be some time to do that collectively. So definitely, definitely, definitely schedule one of those couple of strategy sessions that I am hosting, those workshops, if you will, for back to school, because we're really going to dive into that. I'm going to walk you through exactly how to do that. But for me, when I start to think about what success for me in this transition season looks like, what I am choosing is to not feel frantic. I'm choosing to not be in a hurry. I do not want to push my kids out the door. I want this sense of like calmness about me. And so the word that keeps coming back to me as I think about success during this transition season is spaciousness. Meaning I want there to be space in my calendar. I don't want to book myself every minute of the day. I want to have like spacious energy. I want to have space for my children. I want to have space to hold their emotions. Another word that comes to me is like grounded, or not really reactionary or not snappy, but it's kind of me remaining calm and cool, even when there could be heightened emotions or difficult moments in this family, right? So what does success look like for you? How do you want to define that? And make sure, last piece of this is to make sure that you are entirely in control of your definition of success. This is one of the principles that I teach my clients, both my one-on-one clients and my group clients that are a part of the Ambitious and Balanced program. Success is something you want full ownership over, which means success can't be your kid not having a meltdown, because that's not something entirely in your control. Success can't be you getting recognized by your boss or superiors because you're not in control of them recognizing you. Success can't be your husband helping out more around the house because you can't, sure as heck, cannot force him to do that. You're not entirely in control of it. Always, 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 when we are talking about defining success, you want to frame it in such a way that you can achieve it, right? That you alone are in total control of you being able to achieve that version of success for you. Okay. So that's tip number two, define success. Your brain needs that clarity. Tip number three and four are, I'm going to kind of combine here, and this is where we're going to get a little bit more practical. Tip number three and four, and having a really smooth transition back into school or into the fall and kind of really surviving during this transition, is to pick one thing that you want to intentionally lean into that's going to help you kind of execute on your version of success, right? One thing that you're going to lean into, and then one thing essentially that you're going to let go of or you're going to lean out of during this transition time, right? So what are you going to lean into? What are you going to lean out of? So when we talk about leaning in, this is like, how essentially are you going to make sure you are successful during this transition season? You know, remembering, for example, my definition of success during the season is like spaciousness and feeling really grounded. What that means is that the moment I know that I tend to like lose my footing in that and I tend to like snap at my kids is the morning time, right? Getting them out the door on time. So I'm going to really lean into spaciousness in the morning. I'm going to make sure everybody gets started getting dressed, having breakfast, packing their backpacks, kind of at least 1 hour before we have to get out the door, right? We certainly don't need all of that time, but I'm going to give us all of that time so that there's lots of space for emotions and questions and dawdling and resistance and all the things. And so by the time we actually have to get out the door, we have like really set ourselves up for success for being able to do that, right? I know my daughter, she's going to tell me, Mom, I do not have to get dressed right now. I still have like 20 or 30 minutes. And I'd be like, yes, I understand that. But we're just going to try to like get ahead of this right now. I'm going to try to explain to her and be very gentle around it and kind of guide her and like, I get it. And let's see if we can get dressed like a little bit early. So we leave lots of space for being on time and being successful. My son, on the other hand, being spacious and grounded with him in the morning is going to mean that he's going to need a lot of my help. And I mean, doing things that for sure he has been doing and can do on his own, which means that I'm not going to push him. I'm not going to ask him multiple times to do things. I'm going to ask him once. And if it looks like he's not going to execute on that, like I'm just going to find him in his room playing with Legos and listening to his story, then I'm going to go in and I'm going to help him the second time rather than telling him, hey, bud, it's time to get dressed right now for the second or third time. I'm going to come in and say, hey, bud, you're having a difficult time getting dressed right now. I'm going to help. I'm going to go over. I'm going to pick his clothes out. I'm going to get down on the floor and I'm going to actually assist him all along the way, which means we need more time because if I'm helping him, that means I'm not taking the time to get myself ready. And so we need a lot more time to get ready. Spaciousness, right? That's what I'm leaning into is like a really spacious morning routine, giving lots of space for that over the next couple of weeks. And so that's tip number three. So tip number four is what are you letting go of in order to be successful? Like essentially, what are you choosing not to do during this season in order to help you to be successful? And maybe you're going to let go of an expectation, right? Maybe you're going to let go of the expectation that you're going to get through all of your to-do list right now because you're probably just not, right? Maybe you're going to let go of something like vacation planning or logistics that are coming up for something during this like fall or holiday season, because really in the next 2 weeks, it's not the thing to be focusing on. It's not the thing that should be getting your attention. So you're just going to choose not to do it right now. Now, that doesn't mean you're choosing not to do it forever. You're just choosing to not make it a priority during this like container of time that you've decided for yourself as like your transition season. What are you going to let go of that is probably like low on your to-do list anyway, that it's better for you to just feel empowered and say, you know what? I'm going to decide right now. I'm just not going to focus on that. And I'll come back to that in a couple of weeks when this transition season is over. But right now, it's not the priority. So I'm not even going to feel guilty for not doing it. I'm not even going to try to like trick myself in believing that if there's time, maybe I'll get to it. I'm just not going to do it, right? I love this practice of like naming what you're not going to do because I guarantee that there's several things you're not going to get to during this transition because like literally there just isn't space for it. There's too much going on. The transition is too much. You don't have the emotional capacity. You're like your mental space and your emotional space is like shot at the end of the day in a way that it wasn't just a couple of weeks ago, right? So it's so much more powerful to decide ahead of time where you feel much more in control and you have a lot less guilt when you just decide ahead of time, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm going to put it on my to-do list for when I get back, right? Maybe you need to lean out of some commitments like I'm not going to say yes to anything in the PTG or the PTA. I call it the PTG. I'm a part of the PTA essentially at my school, but we call it the PTG. I'm not going to say yes to anything going on there. I'm not going to say yes to any evening commitments over the next couple of weeks because I just want my evenings to be sort of spacious and lingering. I want to be able to go to bed when I want to go to bed. I'm not committing to working after my kids go to sleep. What are you not going to do? Right? Tip number five is to distribute the mental load with your partner or your spouse or maybe one of your parents, like a grandparent of your kids. Truly, as women, we carry the majority of the mental load for our households, for our families. I've done episodes in talking about this. But part of the reason we carry so much of the mental load is because we don't ask for help. I guarantee there is something you can ask for help from your partner or your spouse or a parent or a grandparent right now that would alleviate some of the load that you are carrying, one of the stressors you are carrying, and you need to have an intentional conversation about it and truly let it go. Over the weekend, I brought up to my husband how school was starting. Obviously, he knows that. We've been talking about that. But I also brought up like, I have a whole host of mental lists that like mental load lists that I'm about to take on for the family. And I said to him, I said, I bet you don't even know that that's about to come, but like I'm anticipating it starting this week. And he was like, no, like what? And I was like, well, for example, I'm thinking about school lunches and printing lunch menus and talking to our kids about what they're going to eat and what they're not going to eat and helping train them, because we've talked about like training them to start making their lunches with us at home. The teachers are going to start sending out emails that we're going to have to read, and there's going to be like get to know you forms to fill out, and there's going to be like, where's your kid going after school? I want to make sure they're safe. And there's going to be like, do your kids have allergies? And there's going to be sign up for things. And then there's going to be back to school night that we have to get on the calendar, and we want to make sure we have childcare for. There's going to be so many additional things that are going to come up in the next week or two that you don't even think about. Like, cause you don't, you read those emails, but my husband doesn't own those. Like I own those, right? But I own them because I've never asked him, and he hasn't taken the initiative to own any of those things. And now we're just in a rhythm like, oh yeah, Rebecca does that, right? So I said, and really to his credit, you know, it was like, hey, what can I do then to help you? And that was what I hoped his response would be. And again, I'm just trying to be really transparent with him. And in that transparency, he's very interested and willing to help me. So was like, okay, well, what can I take over? And I said, you can own lunches, like really own lunches, everything from printing the monthly calendars to conversations with our kids, to training them up so they make their own lunches, to what do we need to stock in our refrigerator to make sure we have those things for their lunches, to everything related to lunches. If it's like 7:20 and we're supposed to be out the door in 20 minutes and you're still sitting on the couch and you haven't gotten yourself ready or made lunch, like I'm not worried about it. That's what I want, is I don't want to worry about it. You said you would own lunches. And so I know that that's in your plan and you're going to do it. That's what I need from you. And he was like, yep, I got it. I'm totally on it. Right. And that's something that he did quite a lot of ownership of last school year. And so we're kind of like upped the ante on some of those things as well. So he's going to own that. That already, me thinking like, oh, that means I don't have to remind him. I don't have to think about grocery shopping for it. I don't have to like the training our kids up part of this. Like he's going to own that, not me. All of that feels so good to me to like take that off of my list. So now every time my brain thinks about school lunches, I go, nope, that's not my job. My husband's going to own that, right? Daryl's going to own that. That just alleviates this level of stress. I promise you, people want to help you. Your partner wants to help you. You have to make that request for help. And then you have to let them own it, which sometimes means you're going to have to let them fail. That's a whole nother conversation here about actually letting, like transferring ownership means letting your spouse fail at that, maybe for a while as they figure out what they need in order to be successful at it. That's a part of the job too. But we're not going to get too far into that right now. Right now, your tip is to figure out at least one thing that you can truly let go of that would alleviate your stress over the next few weeks at a minimum, and offload that to your partner. All right, we got two more here for you. Tip number six, in terms of being successful in this fall transition, back to school transition, is to build in buffer time. And when I say buffer time, I mean like sometimes you need to double the amount of time you think it's going to take for you to get out the door on time. Or if it usually only takes you 30 minutes to make dinner, it might take you 45 because your kid is going to come home hangry and upset. And so you're going to have to stop what you're doing as you're making dinner to like deal with him. And it's just going to take longer. Everything is going to take longer during this transition period. I want you to just expect that. I want you to build that into your time. Right? If it usually, you know, your transition, like your commute to work is 30 minutes, that's great. It probably isn't going to change, but maybe you need an additional like 10 or 15 to emotionally shift, right? Maybe you're going to need to add in some buffer time for yourself to handle those emotions that are coming up and to like be the calm, confident, in my case, spacious and grounded person that you want to be. Okay. Quick recap before we get into our very last tip that I have for you. Number one, expect higher emotions from your kids, from yourselves during this transition season. That means there's going to be higher levels of resistance and tantrums and tears all across the board. Number two, define success for you over these next couple of weeks during essentially this transition time, right? Whatever you decide that transition to be. Focus on things that you are in control of, right? Make sure your definition of success is totally within your ownership. Number three, Pick one thing that you want to lean into during this transition time that's really going to help you feel successful based upon your own definition of that. And pick one thing that you're going to let go of intentionally that's also going to help you feel successful during this time. Number five, ask for help. At least one thing, let go of it. Ask someone to take on the mental load of whatever that is. You are certainly not alone. By all means, lean into your support system. Number six, give yourself buffer time for absolutely everything. Everything is going to take more time just because there's going to be more emotion. It's going to be more exhausting, all the things. So expect the need for buffer time and build that into your schedule. Things should not be back to back to back to back to back because you're just going to be behind all day. And then that's going to have its own set of problems, right? And then the last tip I have for you is to give yourself recovery time. Remember how I said tomorrow when I drop off my kids, I'm going to be like an emotional basket case? Well, I'm going to give myself some recovery time. That's the buffer time essentially that I have built in so that I don't start work right away. I'm blocking off 30 minutes to kind of pull myself together, to finish up my walk, to put on my makeup, to take some deep breaths, to center myself, maybe to meditate for a few minutes. Something to literally allow some recovery time from all of the emotions going on from myself and from my kids during the day, right? Because it's, even if you remain calm all throughout your morning transition, for example, if your kids have a lot of high emotion, like your emotional capacity bucket is like overflowing by the time that you actually drop them off, right? You don't drop them off and you feel the sense of relief, yes, but you're still at like heightened emotion. You're still in this like, kind of nervous system overload states that you need some recovery time for, right? Maybe that time is in the evenings for you, which is why you should not be working in the evenings potentially over the next several weeks. You need to build in some of that, like, I'm exhausted, I'm emotionally drained because it's just an emotionally draining time and there's heightened emotion. And I'm just going to build in some buffer time, some emotional processing time, and clear my calendar to allow for that. Or maybe if you are for the very first time dropping your kid off at preschool or dropping your kid off at kindergarten, those are typically very high emotion times for working moms. I absolutely cried in my car for weeks after those experiences, preschool, transitional kindergarten, all the things, literally so much emotion. Maybe what your buffer time looks like is planning a couple of like early end work early, go pick them up early, have some really good connection time with your kid to feel like, to like alleviate some of the emotions that are coming up with sending them off to preschool for the first time and sending them off to kindergarten for the first time. You absolutely can plan for that time that you need in order to transition really well. All right, amazing working mamas. You guys, seven tips for you to feel successful during this fall back to school transition. Remember, I am hosting that back to school workshop just for you to help you feel really powerful and clear and remain calm during this upcoming back to school season. I would love to see you in one of those upcoming calls. Again, you can go to the show notes to find the website for that. You can also just go to my website. You'll find it there too, RebeccaOlsonCoaching.com. All right, working moms, till next week, let's get to it. Hey, working moms, if back to school season already has you feeling rushed, exhausted, or like there's not enough time in your day, then I've got something that's going to change all of that. I am hosting a brand new set of back to school strategy workshops, 60-minute live workshops specifically designed for you. In just 1 hour, you're going to create a personalized survival plan for this upcoming season so you're not feeling like you are rushed and scrambling all of the time. You will know exactly what you should be focusing on, what you want to let go of, how to make the mornings more smooth, how to make the after school rush calmer, and ultimately create for yourself a schedule that you feel in control of. Imagine having more space for the things that matter most and setting yourself up, not just for a smoother fall, but for this busy holiday season ahead. There are several small group workshop times to choose from, but once they're full, they're full. It is just $27 and you can grab your spot and pick your time by going to the show notes and to my website, RebeccaOlsonCoaching.com. All right, working moms, I will see you next week and in one of those workshops. Till then, let's get to it.